Okay, let's go to volume one of the Tommy Greetings, number 43. It says, the year of his redeeming. We're going to finish all 25 minutes of our sermon. We are to study the 63rd chapter of the Isaiah. In this chapter, we find recorded a prophetic conversation among three persons: the prophet, and the Yeshua. Three persons. Number one is the prophet. Okay, it says, Yeshua and a person living in the time that the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. For the subject of the people's redemption in the day that this scripture is fulfilled. The part that should concern us most is for the knowing of the time, for the gaining of this information. As we read verse 16 of Isaiah 63. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of it, and Israel acknowledge this not. Thou, O Yeshua, art our father. He's talking about the Son. I said, our Redeemer, for thy name is from everlasting. Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the person speaking on the behalf of the people who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter reveal that he and his people are unknown unto Abraham, since Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the Christians. We call those followers of the apostles, Yeshua's disciples of the New Testament. He calls the rise of the apostolic of the New Testament. Then the apostolic must be the people of whom he is ignorant. So the disciples in Yahshua of the New Testament was unknown to Abraham and them. For the truth then stands out clearly, as the chapter finds its fulfillment in the Christian era of a 2,000 year period from Yeshua until from the third parabolic hour to the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, covered a 2,000 year period of time. Now to find whether it is concerning the early or the latter day of the apostolic believers, we shall read verses 18 and 19, also out of 64:10-11. For the subject matter of the chapter 64 is only a continuation of the chapter 63. For the people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Isaiah 63:18 and 19. For thy holy cities are a wilderness. For the Zion is as a wilderness, and the Jerusalem as a desolation. For our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, is burned up with the fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah 64:10-11. Here, this sin, that the longing of the people is for the restoration of the temple and for their repossession of the promised land. Now the fact that the temple and the land are still in the hands of the Arabs and unbelieving Jews, those who were never called by his name, never called Christians, so the unbelieving Jews today in Jerusalem, the unbelieving ones, they were never called anything. It's proof positive that chapters 63 and 4 are fulfilled in the latter part of the antithetical apostolic era, in the time of the second brass mountain, when it comes forth as a purified, sanctified nation, with the 144,000 in the house of David, and thou shouldst send upon the throne of David, and in this mountain, this brass mountain, you read that there, and I can't think of it now. The part in which the time of the Gentiles and the promised land is fulfilled. Moreover, that these chapters are now unveiled unto us, and also the fact that the message for today has caused us to cry unto Yahshua for such a deliverance, for the fact that the time for the fulfillment of the prophecy that is in these chapters is already here. And since you now positively know that these chapters are concerning you and me, we are ready to start the study of the chapter verse by verse. Isaiah 63:1. Who is this that cometh from Edom? Okay. I remember Esau, the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah. He was an Edomite. In other words, he represented the nation of the Ishmaelites, the Muslims. And that's what the Adventist Church is in and tap every day. Those that are not numbered among the 144,000. Okay, it says, who is this that cometh from the Edom with the dyed garment? From Bozrah, this that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in the righteousness, mighty to save. And the vision the prophet saw sunrise with the bloodstained goddess hastily returning from Eden and Bozra unto the prophet's question, who is it that comes from Eden? And with the dead goddess from Bozra came the answer, I that speak in the righteousness matter to say. Who else should this person be but the Yahshua himself, the Savior of the world, as the Mighty One to save? Again, the prophet asked, Isaiah 63:2, wherefore art thou arrayed in thy apparel, and garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? For the answer unto these questions introduces a series of the solemn events, the events recorded in the Isaiah 63:3-5. I have trodden the winepress alone, and other people there was none with me. For I will treat them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. My blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to oppose. Therefore mine own arm, which was my servant David, and typically Elijah's message, with the line, typically Elijah's message, he brought salvation unto me, and my fury it upheld me, because he renewed the daily, restored the sanctuary system back to its rightful order by renewing the daily. Bruce Johnson suspended the daily at Gilead Center, and so therefore he had the crown of heaven, and he had the crown of Father and Son upon him, and he had messages sent from heaven telling him to restore the daily, and he said, no, we're not getting around. Well, Yahshua came and he tread the winepress there at, it says, Edom. Edom was Gilead's center. Because Brother Johnson had the road of antipical Esau, and Esau ruled over Mount Edom in his day. So, Gilead's center, the third feeding pasture for the seventh demons, I closed out the judgment of the dead for the seventh demons, and opened up the judgment of the living with Elijah David taking his place, and the seventh seal, seventh trumpet, judgment of the living, 2002 and 2003. It says, these are there. It says, I have trodden the winepress alone. I looked, and there was none to help me. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Here's question this leader at Gilead Center, although it is the Father and Son. Father died in 2014, and his son, 75 years old, died in 2023 of December of this month, of last month. Okay, it says, show the Savior's zeal and determination to save the misled people at the Gilead Center in Turner, Texas, that was with Phyllis Johnson in the antipical Mount Edom in the 11th parabolic trial starting in 1970 at his first advent. So, Yahshua's first advent and the last days of this test. They say his first advent 2,000 years ago. Well, that's true. Because his first advent and the last day, he calls that brass mountain back then, in Zechariah 6, it was split in two. The first half represented the purified church of the apostles, not sure except of the apostles. The second half represents the purified church up with Yahshua coming again and repeating and setting up his kingdom, his church, with his temple, raising up his temple. You read that in Amos 9, and setting 144,000 down up on. Now this is a kingdom that will never be destroyed or left to other people. The first kingdom, the first brass mountain there, it came to us then, and it was left to other people. Okay. So it says that but the statement, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will spend all my raiment for the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem. Okay, so 2003 was definitely in his heart, because that's Joshua's first advent back in the end time. Because he went back to heaven. Luke 19 says he went back to heaven and left his kingdom in charge of his new leadership, Elijah David. Now he's going to come again. This will be his second advent when he comes again. And this time he'll come to see the 144,000. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garment, and I will spend all my raiment, for the day of the vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeem is come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my own arm, the untypical house of David, kingdom of David, which is the same thing as the kingdom of heaven of Daniel 2:44-45, which is the same thing as that little stone being hewn out of the mountain, that hand, strike the image on the feet and go into a mountain of the whole earth. But this little stone was hewn out of Gilead's center's mountain in 2002. Gilead's center, it was the third feeding pasture for the seventh dinner, and Brother Johnson was the last prophet to the Advent of Church and the 11th parabolic hour. Mm-hmm. So he says, and I wondered that there was none, you know, the man I'd put in charge, the angel of the candlestick of little sin, Brother Johnson, he wasn't there to uphold, for he had apostatized. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation unto me. In other words, my own purified kingdom of the house of David brought salvation unto me. It upheld me all in the future tense, so the present church's condition. See, Luke Hollis says, 1947, he said that all this in the future, a turn, shows the condition of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today in 1947. Because they are Mount Edom, the beginning of Mount Edom. Not only equally as bad as at his first coming, and 2,000 years ago, but even much worse. How? How true the history repeats. As the day of the vengeance approaches, those who are supposed to be uphold and help in the work of the redemption, those, Brother Johnson, Daniel Johnson, the headquarters of Gilead Center, they were supposed to help in the work of the redemption. For the ministry, and the religious leaders as the antitypical Sanhedrin of today, the General Conference, which are not even Adventists, and the Sanhedrin back then was not even Judaized. They were not even of the house of the descendants of Jacob back then. They were of the descendants of Esau, Mount Edom, those Sanhedrin and Pharisees at the cross. Okay. Are seen to be hindering, standing in his way of the reaching the people. Thus they incur this displeasure and the necessity for he girds himself for the freeing of his people from the hands of these Esauites, ones that filled a favorable position when the time came, because they were working with Yahweh's people in the lines of leadership, and that was Ben Roden and Bruce Johnson. They were people who were there to fill favorable positions, not necessarily prophetic in a sense that they were prophets hooking onto the chain rings of prophecy, but they were fulfilling the antitypical positions of Ishmael and Esau. They caused him to stain his raiment with their blood as he trampled them in his fury. For the antitypical Ishmael, Ben Roden, he filled out the rod period of 40 years in 1970, finished it out in the 10th parabolic hour as born of the flesh Ishmael, the descendants of the Ishmaelites. Whereas Brother Johnson fulfilled the position of the 11th hour as the antitypical Esauites, king over Mount Edom. Jacob, Esau's successor, was a Hebrew Israelite, and he succeeded in being the king over all of Israel. Isaiah 63 says, "And I will tread down the people in my anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down the strength unto the earth. For the Yashur brings for the Yashur's brief explanation of the situation is amplified by the prophet Ezekiel. For he said, he cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, have them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his starting weapon, the strong weapon in his hand. And behold, six men come the way of the higher gate, which lies toward the north, and every man has starting weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with a linen, that was Yahshua, with a rider's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, and the glory of the Yahweh, as the Israel was going up from the cherub, whereupon he was, unto the threshold of the house. And he called unto the man clothed with the linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And he always said, the father said unto him, to his son Yahshua, go through the midst of the city, the seventh day Adventist church, all the way from first feeding pasture of Bashan, through the third feeding pasture, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, 2002. Through the midst of the Yarusha. Now that's who Gilead Center represented. It represented Judah, tribe of Judah. That was the tribe that David was of. And the Jerusalem is the headquarters for Judah. And the south. Samaria is the headquarters of the ten tribes in the north. And set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst of it. And unto the others he said in my hand, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity, say utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, that come not near any man upon whom it is thee, whom is the mark, come not near any man upon whom is with the mark, or who has the mark that I put upon him and be done at my sanctuary. Just read that whole thing again. So he says, let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Stay elderly, old, and young. This is Yahweh talking to the Father, the Son, both maids and little children and women, that come not near any man upon whom is with the mark of the beast, and begin at my sanctuary, and they begin at the ancient men which were before the house, Ezekiel 9:1-6.